Ladies and gentlemen, live from the fatbike.com studios, it's the Weekly Dose of Fat for Friday, October 10th, 2014. It's show number 25, people.
From deep inside the Fat Bike Radio Research Facilities, buried deep within Monkey Mountain.
That's the Weekly Dose of Fat with your hosts, Fat and Gomez. Yeah.
Aloha.
It is us, people. It's the same people who do this every freaking week.
Yeah, it's me again.
Yeah, it's us again. And joining us in the studio today, fresh from his worldwide tour, the great American playboy, J.K. Liven.
Yep.
Did you punch yourself in the eye, by the way? Just check.
Little fight club reenactment.
Yep. He's got a sweet shiner.
He's got a shiner, ladies and gentlemen. That's a good thing, though.
It's our pleasure to introduce CD and the Dose of Fat Band with a new jam for the show intro.
Our show this week is sponsored by Surly Bikes. Ice cream trucks are starting to come into stock at better bicycle retailers across America. Why not visit your local bike shop and take one for a test ride?
Hey, Surly, I'm wearing your pants.
Las bicicletas del Surly son acero para una conducción suave.
What exactly does that mean?
I mean, Surly bikes are made from steel for a smooth ride.
They're made from steel?
Steel.
You have to thump their little heads.
Like kissing from a rose.
Bikes don't grow on trees, you know.
If you want to know more about bikes made from seals, please check out surlybikes.com.
Tell us what's on the show this week, JK.
Well, on this week's show, Chewy provides us with the Luddite response to this year's Interbike coverage. We chat with Dirty from Drunk Cyclist, and we give you a preview of what's to come. Psst, Surly is coming on the show next week.
And that brings us...
Are they going to be wearing their own pants?
To, oh, you know, maybe we should check their pants.
Don't you just say pants, though?
I just like saying pants today.
What is that? Maybe we should get Tyler so drunk that I can steal his pants.
What?
And I'll actually be wearing Surly from Tyler's pants. Tyler from Surly's pants.
Surly from Tyler. What's that sound I hear?
Brings us to our favorite portion of the show. The ready, two, four.
Thanks, Paul Price, for the 25th anniversary bottle opener.
French.
Paul, Components Engineering.
So none of us stopped at the beer shop. So we have three different beers that we fished out of the fatbike.com radio studio cooler. Actually, it's a refrigerator.
Yeah, it's a refrige.
Yeah.
It's like a dorm style fridge.
I got a Wisconsin Brewing Big Sweet Life Maybach.
I have a Lakefront Brewery Oktoberfest.
I have the Central Waters Mud Pumpy Porter.
That's all Wisconsin beer.
Yeah, it is. Hey.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers. On Wisconsin. Cheers with beers. And
so with three different beers, we're not really going to talk about the beer. We're just going to drink it.
Yeah.
But we have a talking point. How do you feel about Pabst Hams and what's the other one? Blatz. Being owned by a Russian company that's headquartered in Cyprus that has a CEO from Los Angeles.
Long as it's $2 a can at the, Steel is Real ride or whatever, whenever we get the cheap beer.
Even different regions. I was getting $2 tall boys on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Works out.
As long as we don't have to drink Budweiser, who the hell cares?
So it's like the International House of Beer Cakes.
You know, Miller's own down there. And are they still in South Africa or did we get them back now?
I think they got them back. So it's always like an import.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, this happens in real estate too. Foreign companies come in and they buy up a lot of America, buy a lot of American companies, a lot of American real estate. They lose their asses. They go home crying with the tails between their legs because America is great as hell. And then we just make money again when we sell it for the third time or fourth time or whatever.
All right.
How many times has Pebble Beach been sold to the Japanese exactly?
That's an American burp right there.
Are we still talking about beer?
Let me remove that soapbox from beneath your surly pants.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm still never drinking Budweiser.
Right.
And when I go to the gas station, I look at those beers and I don't buy Pabst Blue Ribbon now because it's owned by the damn Russians. And I buy Negra Modelo, or I buy Modelo Especial.
At least it's on this continent.
That's right. My Mexican friends, we are going to come to your house and drink the Negra Especial.
Negra Modelo.
So is the gas station actually owned by Americans, or do you go to one of the foreign gas stations as well?
It's a BP station.
Hey, BP, that's not American.
I know it's not American.
They messed up our Gulf, and then they put the profits in their pocket and take it back to jolly old England over there.
Right across the street, there's a Citgo, and that's owned by, like, somebody that hates America.
Right.
I don't know. The dude down there in Venezuela, man.
Goddamn Royal Dutch Shell, and, oh, man, whatever. Got to drive our cars once in a while, apparently.
It's a big world. Speaking of big worlds, we'll be right back with the voice of reason, the one and only Chewy, after this word from RSD Bikes, which is also not in America, but we love them.
Up in the great white north, they make bikes for every trail and every season. RSD guarantees you'll have a smoking good time carving lines with their fatty mare. Next season, the big guy gets new builds with an optional Bluto fork up front, 1x11 setups, and new colors too. The most playful fatty on the market still clocks in under 30 pounds for less than 2 grand. Or talk to your RSD bike dealer about any of the trick new options. And always keep the rubber side down.
This is Ned O'Brien, and I listen to the Weekly Dose of Fat on Fat Bike Radio.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have none other than Ron Chewy Moffat on the horn here. Let's get right into that.
All right. Hey, so we've got Chewy on the line. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
To the show.
One of our few return guests. Chewy. The rest of them said, no freaking way. We're not going back on that show again.
This guy's so good, we're having him back all the time.
Well, for my case, it was either this or take a shit, so I decided I'd call you guys instead.
I got a turtle head right now.
We got a turtle head poking out.
So you drink PBR. You're one of those guys that drinks PBR. How do you feel about some sort of Russian conglomerate headquartered in Cyprus with a CEO from Los Angeles? How does that make you feel about your PBR?
I'm probably less pissed off about the Russians than I am about the fuckers from California having it.
All right. That covers it. That covers that.
At least it's still made in the good old U.S. of A.
If it was back in Milwaukee, it'd be perfect. But since it's not, it's like, I don't want to go to California. I'd rather go visit Russia, I think.
You know what? You ought to come back here and check out the best place where they've got the old Pabst Brewery offices and the welcoming center that they used for all the tours back up and running, and it's totally kick-ass.
Oh, and you would go crazy in the gift shop.
Yeah, they have a lot of old stuff it's not reproductions. Yeah. It's actually stuff they found in the warehouse that they're just glomming onto and selling, and it's all authentic, original PBR paraphernalia.
So I don't know if I ever told you guys that when I was like 14, I used to actually work for the Pabst distributor in town here. The guy that was the driver was good friends of my parents, and so he would, when they would be short help for vacation, I would jump in the truck, and I get to do all the beer hauling because I could go into the back of liquor stores and stuff, but I couldn't put my face in the front because I was too young.
Yeah.
So I have like Pabst shirts and I have all this stuff. And then when Bob passed away here just a couple years ago, his wife let us go through the basement back in the 70s when you could do all those promotions. So I have like styrofoam, straw hats, and vests, and half t-shirts. That's brand new. We made a fortune off that stuff.
Cool. Very nice, very nice. So,
half t-shirts.
Before you take us to the woodshed on how much carbon fiber we have in our life, how about telling us about this?
By the way, before you go any farther,
yeah.
It's not carbon fiber, it's carbon fibers. There's more than one fiber in it.
Carpet fibers.
Oh. This is from Charlie the Bike Monger. This is his statement that it's carbon fibers, not carbon fiber.
I'd just like to remind you that
if I had a cool English accent, it would even sound better.
They speak the Queen's English, and we speak Merkin.
Merkin.
It's not the same language. And besides,
okay, it doesn't sound as cool in American then.
All right. Yeah, the high-end bike frames are single-strand carbon fiber, one continuous. The cheap ones are all cut into little itty-bitty pieces.
There it is.
I just made that up.
Whoop, whoop, there it is. So before we get talking all about that, tell us about your little trip to the desert and how you went and rode your Pugsley and whatnot.
Oh, it was awesome. So I don't know if you guys remember from any of the single speed events, Gary Montgomery and Anthony Crable from Austin, Texas.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Yeah. So they decided to get married in Flagstaff up at Snowball or a Snowball. It's called. It's like a part of the Arizona Trail system, and it's way up in the mountains up there. And I couldn't make it to the reception back in Austin, so they invited us out for a little get together. So we took the Pugsleys out there and we camped for a couple of days, and they rode up to a specific spot that when Carrie went to school out there, that was kind of her hang out, and they got married up there. And then when they got done with their wedding, they rode, and you guys know Scandinavian Jesus. He was the one that performed the ceremony.
Oh, nice.
And what's that?
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, oh, nice. Yeah, Scandinavian Jesus. So then, I mean, how many people can say I got married by Scandinavian Jesus?
How cool is that, right?
I know.
So they rode down the hill, back down to the trail, and then we were all sitting down there waiting for him at the foot of the trail. On the Arizona Trail in Aspen. It was just beautiful. And so they were in a tux and a wedding dress, and we were all on our bikes, and we proceeded to have a small little ceremony with cake and shots of Fireball. And then we began to do hand-ups on the trail with a Fireball. as people either walked by or rode their bikes by, we had a couple that was walking by from, they were originally from, South Dakota, that wound up just hanging out and drinking with us for like a half hour. So that was perfect.
Very cool.
And then we finished their day by riding. From that point, we were up at the top of the trail system, about as high up as we could get, and then we rode about a 4.5 mile downhill back where we were camping. So that was kick ass just for a nice downhill ride. I was the only one on a fat bike, because one of the guys out there, Scott Bridges, loaned me his Pugsley. So, and obviously the people in Arizona don't know how to set up a fat bike, because I had to basically rebuild the thing when I got my hands on it. It was fun. We camped out for another couple days, and then we went to Sedona and rode on the way back.
Oh, nice.
And that was my first time in Sedona.
Oh, really?
That was awesome.
Did you get any crystals?
Did you visit any cosmic vortices?
Cosmic vortexes?
No, but I tell you what, camping in the mountains up there, it's even scarier yet, because there is noises that I have no clue what they were. They have animals up there. All we kept being told by Dirty was that it was just the local mountain lions, and they're tiny.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm part of the weasel family, I understand.
Hey, later in the show, Dirty Biker's coming on, and he's going to tell us how to break your arm.
Yeah. So then we finished up by the rest of the trip from Arizona, because we got to get back to Dirty. The rest of the trip to Arizona, we wound up doing a short track race on Monday, and then I flew back to town on Tuesday. All in all, it was awesome.
You live the life, man.
And if you guys haven't ridden Sedona, you have to get out there and ride. I think that was one of the coolest places I've ever ridden.
No, I've been there a couple of times. It's awesome. It's a visual splendor.
That's almost like it a is, visual it is. Organism.
The red rock and the blue sky and the cosmic vortices. Oh,
yeah.
Lordy.
It's spooky shit. Not to mention the fact that did you go to Bike and Bean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
And good luck getting out of there without drinking several beers.
Yeah, or some delicious coffee, or checking out, what's the bike brand that they... Do they still make the, I think it's Agave bikes that they used to sell out of the shop?
I didn't see any around there. They just, pretty much all they had were the non-nice stuff. They had like mostly, I think everything that they had out front was Santa Cruz. I don't think they had anything but Santa Cruz in this store.
Gotcha. So are you ready to provide the Luddite response to the Carbon Fibers Society of America at Interbike?
Oh, okay. What was that?
Have you prepared a statement in rebuttal of Interbike?
Why? I didn't. Also, here's what I can say about carbon fiber. Okay. It's not going away.
No. Nope.
That's it. I don't know why not, but it's never going away.
Well, it won't even go away after you're done using it. It's like if you put it in a dump, it'll last until the next generation of dinosaurs shows back up here.
That's exactly what I was getting at. And it sounds to me, and I've actually softened a little, just a little, because the guys that are riding it on carbon that really like it on the carbon frames are guys that are using it in the dirt more than they're riding it in the snow. And that might just be me. That might just be the people I've talked to. But that seems to be the case. So if that's the case, then that's okay, because I'll never ride at those people again anyway, and they can have all the freaking carbon they want anyway.
All right, here's one last question. How do you feel about USA Cycling coming out on the same day that Fat Bike Berkey said, we'll do another U.S. National Championship for Fat Bikes? USA Cycling said, Valentine's Day, Ogden, Utah, we're going to have a sanctioned Fat Bike National Championship.
On carbon fiber bikes.
No, on any bike.
Well, that'll be it. The carbon guys can go out there and race in Ogden, Utah, because they are just about as nerdy as the people that live out there.
Hey, and Mark Peterson, hallelujah, bro.
This is why we love you, Chewy.
However, I got one more thing for you. You guys have to remember, I don't think you guys deserve to host it anymore anyway. It's in your backyard, and you let a guy from Colorado beat everybody? The hell?
Not a guy. A freaking cyborg. Come on, you would party with Ned Overend.
I have, actually. I don't know if he even remembers me, and it doesn't matter. We met him at singles. Don't forget, he raced in La Crosse, Wisconsin in the 90s when he was, I don't know if he's right. I think he was right for Specialized then, but him and Cindy Whitehead came, and they were our professional races at the one and only season we ran a Norbit sanctioned race, which will never happen again. They came and raced at La Crosse at one of the original Midwest Mountain Bike Point Series races.
That's cool. I thought those were at Red Wing. There used to be a Norba National at Red Wing too, right there in your backyard.
I don't remember doing one at Red Wing.
Isn't that Bob Wendell?
That might have been after I quit running the stuff, but I don't remember the one being at Red Wing. The only Norba National stuff that we had was one in La Crosse, and then the next closest one, I think, was in at what's the place down by Dubuque at the ski hill down there. That was Cactus Cup. They ran Cactus Cup races down there.
Right.
That's what it was.
Yeah, remember Bluebird Springs in La Crosse? That race track?
That was Bluebird Springs. The last race I ever promoted by myself was at Bluebird Springs, and I was going to prove to the world that we could run a mountain bike race and do awesome prizes with no sponsorship, just the entry fee of the riders. Uh-huh. And we got like 2.5 inches of rain 20 minutes before the race started, and everybody said, I rebuilt my bike too many times this year, I'm not even freaking racing. So we all just went to the bar. We had like 20 people race, and the rest of us just went to the bar and got drunk.
Did you guys have a fat bike
class?
That
was probably the drunkest I've ever seen the really fast, really strong riders in the Midwest get on an evening. It was hilarious. We all drank the Bluebird Springs bar out of beer, just watching all the fast guys get really, really drunk. The band even went home, grabbed their instruments, and came back and played.
Awesome. That's what mountain bike racing is all about right there.
Right there. Yeah. And that course, exactly Bluebird Springs.
That's exactly it.
There was a rocky downhill there that, man, just carnage. I was from Chicago, so we weren't used to any hills. You'd go
a pile of the original Gary Fisher bikes lay at the bottom of that downhill because they all broke right at the headset.
Yeah.
They just cracked in half, and then they laid, and then he would just send them a new one. And I know there was at least three that were broke there.
Yeah, that's what is in my memory is forks sheared off the frame. It's like crazy stuff. All right, Chewy, you keep on rocking in the free world, my friend.
All right, I will see you guys again soon, I hope.
Yeah, night shift maybe, coming up.
Are you going to come? Oh, good. Possibly. I should be out of jail by then.
All right, Chewy, thanks.
All right, we'll see you, man.
See you guys.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
Welcome back to the radio program.
The same day that the Fat Bike Berkey announced that they would have the U.S. National Fat Bike Championship USA Cycling published this memo about a U.S. national championship that will be held in Ogden, Utah on February 14th. And when I say this memo, you're going to have to go ahead and look in the show notes for the link, because obviously you can't see it on the airwaves.
There's actually a memo floating around the studio right now.
Memo, this right in now from them. So
now there is a sanctioned and an unsanctioned U.S. fat bike championship.
So someday there should be a cage match where we unify the belts.
750 people here, 42 people here.
Slush Bowl 17, Sunday. Sam Squanch versus the abominable Snow Freak.
Carbon fiber Snow Freak.
No rules. Well, I guess there'd have to be rules. Because it's USA Cycling, right?
Well, they're going to have rules.
Yeah. Well, you won't have to buy a license. Not except for the guy that win, you know, the guys that have raced for USA Cycling. You got to have a license.
Can't be a national champion without a license.
That's right.
You have to be licensed to be a national champion.
So check out, you know, all of USA Cycling's national championship races.
Powder Puff Derbies and other events at USACycling.org.
Yeah, it's you know, right there on the show notes. So, you know what last Wednesday was?
Like Wednesday and stuff?
It was full suspension fat day.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I talked to Dave Turner.
Who declared that?
Well, it was just kind of, well, for me.
Yeah.
I talked to Dave Turner of Turner Precision Bicycles about their new dual suspension rig. Dave's going to be a guest on our show sometime in November.
That's cool. You know, I know you have a Turner, and I think yours is one of the... That thing's been around for how long? So like a 2000?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there? That thing was actually... You could make that into a fat bike.
Right.
Back in the olden days. Yeah. Before full suspension fat bikes existed, full suspension fat bikes existed from Turner.
Yeah, I think that the Snowcats and Endos fit on that bike.
I actually got an email from somebody, whatever, I forgot your name, I'm sorry. We're on the radio, I'm not in front of the computer. But he asked where we could get Snowcat rims still.
I don't know, and I
know I Velocity had them, or 616 had them or something.
616 bought the tooling.
Right, okay. And Velocity was going to make them, I don't know if they did.
I don't know.
There's a lot of rims out there, though, folks. You want rims for your fat bike? I don't think you'll have a problem finding rims this year. I'm seeing stock levels are pretty good at most of the distributors right now.
Buy rims that you can go tubeless.
Or not.
Or put a tube in your tire.
As long as it holds air, really.
So you want to know what else makes it full suspension Wednesday?
I do.
I also talked to Aaron Atua, who just returned our test bucksaw. That's hard to say.
Say that three times fast.
Test bucksaw to the Q mothership.
Hi, Mike Reamer.
He's one of our Bike Black Ribbon test pilots, and people might know him as the Cuyuna Kid.
Yeah, I met him up at the Fat Bike Summit in Hayward last year. He's definitely on the game out there at Cuyuna. Is that it?
No, after that... To make it, you know, to solidify the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, because two doesn't make a fat bike day, but three.
Suspension. I called Dan Burt. He's the brand manager at Foz Racing, and we talked about their new Fat Proto. And you know what?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's just a fat bike prototype at this point.
Okay, that's not the official name of it yet?
No.
Because I would buy a prototype. That way you've got like one of the first ones.
Yeah, man. Check it out.
Even if it's the
Foz Racing Fat Proto, yo.
Fat Proto. I think we just found their name for them. Send a check. Fatbike.com.
Copyright.
Thank you.
So now we have to go to Sea Otter, dude.
Did you say cock ring? What?
Comes with a cock ring?
Damn it. This is a prototype. It's a PG rated show, folks.
Copyright. The ears were missed.
Oh. All right. Okay. Let's call Dirty and send him some healing vibrations because he broke his arm and stuff.
Enjoy this Verizon Ringback tone while your party is reached.
Is that Christmas music already?
Good morning.
Good morning, Dirty.
What up, gentlemen?
So we got you. We are recording, and we are making radio right now.
That's amazing stuff. Right over the airwaves, right after your Christmas music or whatever that hold music you had was.
Yeah, super, super sleuth, spy, playboy kind of set up on your phone there. Way to go, eh? So first off, we want to send you out some healing vibes because you broke your arm.
Why did you? Why'd you break your arm?
I just broke my arm.
Did you feel it? Did you feel those healing vibes? Can you feel it?
I did, man. I'm feeling a little all the way across the country. You gotta remember, it's only 8:30 in the morning here, and I'm on disability, so I just woke up.
Awesome.
So you're in your bathrobe, or maybe just a towel. You taking your first pain pill for the day?
I was actually waiting until after I talked to you to take my medicine.
For the slurry speech portion of the show, it's brought to you by Derby's Broken Arm.
Brought to you by the makers of...
The proper term is shirt cocking. I don't use a bathrobe, but I am wearing an old Gnome Fest t-shirt. Just for the occasion, just to get in the vibe, and no pants. How's that for a visual?
So before you broke your wing, you took out a state fatty out to ride on some SoCal dunes. Or were those NorCal dunes, or was that just a movie set? Where the hell were? Where was that?
The dunes were just over the Arizona-California border, and just past Yuma, Arizona, in Southern California, and right on the California-Arizona-Mexico border. And it's a off-road car quad playground. And we went down on a Monday, and on a really early Monday morning, and it's about 2.5 hours from me, and they were empty. And we had the whole place to ourselves. It was an awesome playground, and it was windy the night before. There was very few tracks. It was beautiful sand pattern on some new bikes.
Cool. What did you think of the Stady?
I think for the price, they're pretty awesome. They're going to really be a gateway drug for a lot of people getting the fat bikes. I think that's my personal opinion.
I think they
come in and they're doing like two models at like $500 and $700, one with a toaster brake, one with a DP5 disc brakes. And I don't know personally if I haven't ridden any bike that was that fun, that's horrible.
That's cool.
I didn't break it.
Are you going to get any more time running that bike on trails? I'd love to see ride a coaster brake bike on some single track here, because the hills aren't like super big.
They are alive with the sound of music, however.
Indeed. So, are you going to get to ride that bike anymore?
Yeah, I think so. As soon as I have a functional arm. I'm fortunate. The guys from state, they're about 2 miles from my house, so they're local Tempe, Arizona guys, and they. Whenever they have a project, they like to call me up and see what I think. And I think that a bunch of guys that were riding fixed gear bikes around and now all of a sudden found the stoke for mountain bikes and cross bikes and fat bikes, it's pretty awesome. We're all diversifying a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that there's a couple of other companies that were kind of traditionally fixie or single speed companies that have gotten the fat bike vibe as well. It's cool to see State doing it, Fixation's doing it, Wyatt's doing it. There's some companies that normally you wouldn't consider them fat bike people, but the crossover is actually pretty strong.
It's really great because it's a pretty chill vibe in both scenes. Everybody just kind of showing up in shorts and a t-shirt and going for a ride and having a really good time. That's my opinion. That's what I see in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We went to go do a little video shoot for the release. They're releasing this bike like next week, finally, to the public, and after unveiling it at Interbike. And the photographer and the videographer that were there, like, they were so stoked on the bike and just watching us have fun as they're filming us that we're like, okay, we're done, we're going back to the car. And they just, the photographer and the videographer just grabbed the bikes and took off and went and did their own thing, had to get the ride. And awesome. They were so pumped on the bikes, and they're just hooting and hollering right in the air here. So it was really good to see. Really super healthy.
Right on. Yeah, we've talked to a couple kind of older generation mountain bikers recently with our interview with Ned Overend last week, and we talked to Gary Fisher at Interbike and had him on video. both of them said the same thing about the fat bike scene, is that it kind of goes back to the roots of what was fun about mountain biking in the beginning. And they were really stoked that fat bikes were, you know, something that people were getting into that was about fun.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I mean, I started out, you know, 22 years ago BMX racing, and then got a mountain bike and got addicted to that, and went everything from downhill racing to single speed to 24-hour racing. Now I've kind of come full circle and got back to, like, just exploring the woods, exploring the desert with a fat bike and using it as, like, an all-terrain adventure mobile. It's just fun, you know, and it gets me out there to places where I normally wouldn't go. Yeah, that's extra cool because I just like to see the world from the bike seat.
Yeah, you just got a Packraft. I also am a new owner of a Packraft. So we'll have to do some sort of two-wheel drive and amphibious cross-dressing date down there in the desert somehow.
Sure.
With Gila Monsters. I have some ideas already. And I live in Arizona, and I have a Packraft idea. There's not much water here. But unfortunately, like 2 days after I got my Packraft, I broke my arm. But I'm gonna open up a beer for you guys.
Might as well. My beer's empty.
JK can hook you up with that.
Yeah, fresh beer. We're trying to find a beer intern. So far, so what?
With a skirt, preferably.
It doesn't matter.
I said, what about Colin? Beer intern.
He's moving to Denver.
Yeah, he's 1,500 miles away. That. Malarkey.
So, dude, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Whenever you think about, you know, drunk backyard, think of drunkcyclist.com.
Fuck yeah, drunkcyclist.com. These guys do it right. Those guys. You and Cupcake and the boys.
Hey, man, have a great Friday.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right, Dirty.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
So next week, we're hosting a couple of the hombres from the official Intergalactic Surly Regional Hedgequarters.
Hedgehoggers. Hedgequarters. How many beers have you had?
This is my third beer, and I've barely touched it, and I am lit. God.
That's what makes this show amusing, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe so.
Not so much.
So the reason why we mentioned that Surly is coming is not... because I'm drunk.
Or I'm wearing their pants.
Or that Sven is wearing his pants and making JK and I look at his pants.
Oh, did you see how it has like the center...
soffits? Yeah. There are more soffits.
They're nice pants.
Is we want you to email us questions that you'd like us to ask those surly hombres.
Not me. Our listeners.
Our listeners. Okay. That's right. So, listeners. You know, and understand if you ask the question... when can I get a Dirt Wizard 3-inch by 29-inch? They're going to send rabid weasels to your house. So send me your questions. Put Surly Q as the subject. My email will be in the show notes, but as you know, it's Gomez at fat-bike.com.
That says Comic-Con here. Fat Bike Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
Let's go to Comic-Con. Comic-Con.
This week is a rich pageant of fat bike links. We'll just kind of run through them really quick. We've got a pretty good instructional video on how to do your fat bike tubeless. And it's not for, you know, necessarily an easy to convert setup, which Sven says... nah, forget about it.
I did it on rims that are not officially tubeless.
All right.
From Schlick Cycles. Those are not officially tubeless, folks.
By you, do you mean Jim?
No, I did it. Before Jim, all right. He even knew what a fat bike was, that guy. Anyway.
Our friend from Homer, Bjorn, he took a ride out to Iglesia, and there's some beautiful pictures.
Yeah, Boston Nova packing list for bike packing from the Pedaling Nowhere blog.
We got fresh produce from Salsa Cycles there, the Alaskan Fat Bike Education or Re-Education Camp.
Yeah, this one's kind of interesting. There's a new race that's done by some dog mushing types up there in the Iron Range area of Michigan, Iron County, Michigan. Mm-hmm. They're actually going to get fat bikers up on the dog mushing route, and they're offering up a $1,500 minimum purse.
Damn.
There's a link to that in the show notes.
Cool. Mushers. Becoming fat bikers.
Yeah.
We have a little piece from our amigo in Swedish Lapland, Rise of the Planet of the Ape Fat Bikes.
Yeah. He's talking about how fat bikes are becoming ubiquitous even up there in Lapland.
Bruce. Come on the show, Bruce.
And we've got some full suspension musings on the Salsa. I think they're doing 30 days of blog posts or something.
That's the fresh produce.
Part of the fresh produce.
Every day, farmers bring fat bike stories to the farmer's market, and Salsa puts it on their blog.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast.
And covering my ass.
Visit your local bike shop today and ask them, what color is the new black?
And if they say anything other than there is no new black, get a new local bike shop.
Keep the rubber side down and roll some fatties now.
I'd like to be sending a shout out to Olav and the Lars. Sup, hombres?
And how about a shout out to Gary Davern in Ireland?
Or Earl in Madison.
And Gary in Fruta.
Or Travis from Durango.
Travis, come on the show, bro. You already had Ned. Now it's your turn.
Adios, amigos.
Talk to you later.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.